You're listening to a podcast from Newstalk ZB. Follow this and our wide range of podcasts now on iHeartRadio.
Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Friday. First with yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back at Thursday. We're talking education policy. National's got a few ideas on how the school should be run. Posey Parker, not a character from the Thunderbirds, a horrible, prejudiced person, but does that mean that she's not allowed in here? Nicknames and penis fish is how we'll end the pod, but we'll start it with grumpy old Wayne Brown, because he's decided he's not going to be part of local government in New Zealand anymore, even though he's part of local government in New Zealand.
These guys come to the council meeting today to try to convince you?
Try to convince the others. They've had simple shots at convincing me in the past and have failed. So
yeah.
Yep.
So what did they say? What was the benefit of staying in the group?
Well, the benefit of them is they keep their jobs, of course, but the benefit they say is that we're all grouped together and we all should go together and that sort of stuff. But basically, they have different sectors. They have a rural sector, a metropolitan sector, a regional council sector, and then we're on our own. We don't have a fit with any other sectors. And then the bit I didn't like about it particularly was that it makes it very easy for the Minister of Local Government to talk to all the mayors. They get the mayors in Wellington for a meeting and the minister wanders in, chats to the room and leaves, and that's consultation done with the local government sector. And so I've always felt that if you're on your own, they have to come and see us, and it's a better thing. Some of our local boards, we're too pleased about it, but then again, a lot of our local boards are bigger than most of the other councils.
So are you basically arguing Auckland has more power being completely on its own than being represented by the people at local government New Zealand?
Well, it does.
He really is that guy who comes out and tells the kids to get off his lawn, isn't he? He is that guy. And you've got to kind of love him for it. I go from hating him to loving him from one story to the next. It's fun to watch, I'll say that much. He's in charge of us here in Auckland. How are you enjoying it, rest of the country? Now, the whole country needs an education policy. National's got one, and it's a bit different to what's happening now.
You either got a child with an inquiring mind, a child who believes that they can do whatever they want to do, that they can read, they can write, they can create their own worlds with their own imaginations, they can see the magic in numbers, they can see the magic in learning. That's what teachers live to do, and so few of them are given the opportunity to do that. We have got to draw a line in the sand when it comes to our children's education. I cannot recall how long I've talked about this, ever since the figures first started coming out, that we were slipping, and we were slipping further behind. And the answer was, tests aren't everything, you know. You've got to let these children evolve at their own pace, in their own time. Well, sure, if it was one-on-one teaching, perhaps that would be so. But right now you've got overcrowded classes with children with so many diverse needs that cannot possibly be met by one teacher. They are doing the best that they can. They need the support of the community. They need the support of a country that cares and understands that an investment in a child's education is an investment for the country as a whole.
I really think we're not being radical enough on this. Surely school should just be about teaching them how to use artificial intelligence to do all their stuff for them and leave it at that. Be like a one-week course. It's that. And then they can actually get on with doing something productive. Wasting all their days learning times tables. Anyway, pretty radical, I know. Not as radical as Posey Parker, though. I don't think anybody's trying to ban me. Maybe they are.
Could Michael would have intervened, though, if he still wanted to? Not sure. They reviewed all the intel on her, sought advice from others, and concluded there is no reason to believe that she is or is likely to be a threat or risk to the public order or public interest. So the immigration minister said his hands are effectively tied. I was surprised by that, to be honest. I would have thought, given the, you know, white supremacist types she seems to attract, that that would have been enough of a red flag to perhaps stop her coming. But at the end of the day, we have to support free speech in a free country. We have a Bill of Rights for a reason. So she's doing these rallies in Auckland and Wellington. And to be fair to her, in the interests of balance, she doesn't actually tout herself as an anti-trans activist. The media call her that. She calls herself a supporter of women and someone who opposes trans people using women-only spaces like bathrooms. I mean, why you need to tour around preaching that particular message at rallies is beyond me. And there will, of course, be counter-protests at her appearances. And as Jonathan just pointed out before, potentially, you know, those numbers will be bigger than her actual supporters. So I hope out of all of this brouhaha that those in the trans community who may be feeling scared or intimidated or worried, I hope they take encouragement from the outpouring of support and the outpouring of anger around this woman, Posey Parker. I hope they realise that this is not actually an attack on them. It's just an aggrieved person spouting hate, and we should never have given her the attention in the first place.
Yeah. So my question is people like Kate saying don't give them attention, is that also still bringing attention to them? I feel like it is. And now I feel like me talking about Kate, talking about other people giving attention to this person, is giving this person even more attention. Damn it! I'm falling into a trap! Ah! Let's stop it. We'll never talk about her again. It's not her real name, apparently. What's the deal with nicknames?
The key to a nickname appears to be, it's got to be the first or the second. It's got to be the first or the second stressed syllable that you can shorten into a nickname. But the thing that amazed me most about the article is what, and this is not, of course, this is a name that exists both in all sorts of cultures. But does anyone know what the nickname Manu is short for? I'm not talking about Manu as the first name in Manu Vatavai, but I'm talking about Manu in the French name. If anyone can tell me what that's short for, that's something I've learned tonight that I was intrigued about. But nicknames, yeah, the key to a nickname is it's got to be the first or the second syllable, the first or the second stressed syllable. So if your name's Alexander, you can go by Xander. Alexander. So it's the stressed syllable you're using as the basis of your nickname. It's pretty confusing already for me. It's like one of the most confusing articles. An example of a first syllable nickname would be someone named Alexander who goes by Ali. If your name is Alexander and you go by Xander, that's not the first syllable. That's the stressed syllable that you're using as the base of the nickname. Similarly, if your name is Alexis or Alexia or someone and you go by Lexi, the stressed syllable. The second most stressed syllable would be if your name is Elizabeth, you might go by Liz, which is the stressed syllable, but you might go by Beth, and that's the second stressed syllable. But what you can't go by is Ellie, because that's not going to work. And it's fascinating. Nicknames are absolutely fascinating.
So based on that, you should just call me Zed, I think, rather than Glenn ZB. Is that right? I don't know what's happening. Hey, don't you just love it when people ring up and start talking about penis fish on the radio?
We went to Thailand, decided to do the, you know, authentic Thailand, northern Thailand jungle.
Oh, yeah.
In the village, trekking through the jungle. And so we get to this raft trip part of the jungle trek, and it was quite well set up. The rafts were bamboo tied together. And there's all these little guys running around, and being from New Zealand, we were pretty used to rivers. And it was an international group. So there was all kinds of people, Israelis, Irish, American, you know. So they split us all up and they put us on these rafts. And
just tied together with bamboo and twine?
Yep.
Oh.
Right.
And telling us if you're in the water, whatever you do, don't piddle, don't pee, because there's a worm that will go straight up your old boy.
Yes. That's right. That's actually generally called the penis fish, isn't it?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. I've Googled it.
So, and then there was poisonous snakes.
Yeah.
So, you know, they said, don't just stay still. Anyway, as we take off, I said to my partner, oh, no, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. come on, it's a tourist, you know. It's like, nah. Find out this guy's new, first trip. And he's all over the place. And I said to my partner, we're going to have to swim. 2 minutes later, we just headed straight for a massive rock in the middle of the river. Smashed the raft to pieces and everybody flew into the water.
Oh, my gosh. Did you cover your penis?
Yeah, fully clothed. I didn't think about putting a condom on just in case.
We've come a long way, haven't we, as human beings, so we can have this kind of a conversation just in the middle of the afternoon on network radio. It's good times. We live in a society, as George Costanza once said, I believe, on Seinfeld. I'm Glenn ZB. That has been News Talk ZB. Thank you for being part of my society, and we'll be back with more of it with a weekend edition on Monday. See you then.
For more from News Talk ZB, listen live, on air, or online, and keep our shows with you wherever you go with our podcasts on iHeartRadio.
Shared Lunch is your chance to see behind the share price of the companies you invest in.
I'm not sure that 2024 will be a year that people remember fondly.
Hear from CEOs and experts with a fresh take on what's happening in the markets here and abroad.
There are a number of reasons that you might hold Bitcoin. It's often described as digital gold.
Shared Lunch from Sharesies with Business Desk.
You know, the World Bank is reported as saying that we're probably 3 years into five very difficult years. Where are the opportunities for people here?
When it comes to investing, we'll always bring something to the table. Listen on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts.